All right, guys, welcome back to episode 9 of Primal Alchemy's Red Pill Initiation Hour, here with your host, Chris Story. This is going to be the first episode of 2019, so I hope you guys had a dope-ass new year and you're ready to manifest your dreams moving into 2019. If this is the first time that you're listening to the podcast, then please, after finishing this, give a flick through the archive of the episodes previous. We've recorded some real good episodes leading into the new year, and it's something that you guys would really benefit from if you spare a few hours of your week just to throw the headphones on, or maybe listen to it on the car journey to work. Whatever works best for you, but I'm making this podcast to give you the best information out there when it comes to fully optimizing your mind, body, and soul. And as a special thank you for everyone that's listening, as per usual, if you use the code word red pill, that's the code word red pill, you're getting exclusive 10% off any purchases made on primalalchemy.co.uk. So that would be the perfect opportunity to grab yourself our flagship product, Vitruvian Protein. So Vitruvian Protein is an organic whey protein superfood blend that's forged with adaptogenic, nootropic, prebiotic herbs. And it's the only product in the world to be certified organic, keto, paleo, and made here exclusively in the UK. I say it all the time, guys, but I really do mean this when I say that I made this product to be the best, hands down, health food supplement on the market. And it's not just me saying it. Everyone that's got on board so far, they've only got great things to say about it. So this is your chance, 10% off Red Pill. That's the code Red Pill to jump on board the hype train now and see what all the fuss is about. One more thing as well, guys. Your opinions really do matter to me. Just the fact that you're giving me the time of day and listening to me, that really does mean everything. But I'm not gonna know if I don't get any feedback off you guys. So if you could kindly drop me a review on iTunes, on my Instagram, you can DM me and tell me what you liked about the podcast, what you didn't, if you've got any suggestions for guests that you want to hear. Is there a side of the coin that I haven't covered that you want to know a little bit more about? It's all up to you guys. So you need to I need to hear your voice in order to know how to progress this and make this podcast better for you and for myself. So moving on to today's guest, we have Miss Brittany Ford, aka Biohacking Brittany. Brittany is someone who I have been following on Instagram for a while. You're starting to see the trend that a lot of people that I have on this show, people that I follow on Instagram. I just feel like it's a great platform for getting ideas out there and connecting with like-minded individuals. And yeah, using that platform, I'm able to really connect with people that I wouldn't have the chance to in day-to-day life, Brittany being one of them. Brittany resides out in New Zealand currently, originally from Canada, I believe. And yeah, she's gone through her own journey of health optimization, of reclaiming her health from a failed medical system, and really just delivers solid content and content that's not going to go over your head. It's directed at a quote unquote a normal person. It's broken down into layman terms, and it's things that you can realistically implement into your life in order to better yourself and just, yeah, better your quality of life. I'm not going to be going too woo-woo on this podcast. You guys, for everyone that knows me, you know I can go pretty deep down the rabbit hole and fry out some stuff that might be a little bit unrealistic to some. But yeah, Brittany really nails it when it comes to just giving solid information, research backed, that you guys can implement into your life fairly easily and see some pretty good results. So yeah, we go over a few things like daily life hacks, the addiction to caffeine and the adverse effects that may have, and just simple little things like how taking a stroll down the beach and watching the sunset, how that really does affect you on a quantum level. So yeah, let's get the show underway. Hopefully you enjoy it. As always, please drop me a review. Let me know what you think. And hopefully you enjoy, guys. So, episode 9, time to get woke as fuck. Let's go.
You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
As above, so below, what lies without resides within. Time for growth to begin. Mental, physical, and spiritual. We find balance with all three as we focus on totality. The whole, not the half. This is for those on a spiritual path. Looking for the clues to the answers of life. But the truth ain't always nice, so leave your ego at the door. Let your inner lion roar and your spirit soar. As we go deep down to the molecular level, tap into the body with some yogic breath. Throw in some calisthenics for a true strength test. Like the shamans of old, we use the nature to heal. With a little bit of DMT to reveal. This whole life journey is a little surreal. And your mind needs a leader, not a follower in life. Let your mind be the master and you pay a hefty price. This next 60 minutes is about self mastery. It's not an easy path and it's a lifelong journey, but we up to empower with this red pill initiation hour. With this red pill initiation hour, brought to you by Primal Alchemy.
The Matrix is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
And 3, 2, 1, and we're live. All right, guys, welcome back to episode 9 of Primal Alchemy's Red Pill Initiation Hour. So today, guys, we got a real interesting guest on. Few things that I want to cover with her, and yeah, hopefully we can go deep and deliver something that you guys can really benefit from. So let's just get shit started. So today's guest is Brittany from Biohacking Brittany. So again, Brittany, how's it going?
Great. Thank you for having me on. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, it's sound. All the guests I've had on so far are people that I've come to personally follow and on Instagram. Feel that's you just deliver some real good solid information and everything, and you're just real consistent with just being on point all the time. Everything's really precise. There's no fluff, which is good. There's plenty within this new biohacking realm that are trying to make a name for themselves that kind of are just a bit fluffy around the edges with what they say. And you need to be very precise within this sort of work, because it is health that we're operating on. And it's if you're fluffy and around the and you work around the edges when it comes to health, then it's unfair on the people that you're delivering that information to, because if they look up to you and use you as a sort of a guide as such, then yeah, you're delivering them information that could put them into worse states of health, which is always what we want to sort of mitigate as much as possible. So just to get started with things, Brittany, if you wouldn't mind just sort of telling me and everyone that's listening a little bit about yourself, your sort of background, how you've got into the whole biohacking realm, and where you really see yourself going in the next few years, that would be great.
Yeah, of course. So yeah, thank you for saying that. Just on the Instagram point, it's really hard to like constantly create value, but it's like the most important thing. And like, there is so much fluff on Instagram, so it's nice to kind of like cut through that and really help people in a precise way. So for my own health journey, it started about 9 years ago when I was in high school, and I was dealing with very, like weird symptoms, I would say, and things that weren't really happening to my friends. So things like my hair stopped growing and it started falling out. I was super moody. I wasn't sleeping very well. I had really bad digestion, and I just kind of felt like I had no grip on my health, and I was kind of like spinning out of control a bit. And at this point I wasn't eating a certain way. I wasn't really, you know, I was kind of going to the gym, not really. And just kind of at that 15, 16 year old point where you don't really know what's going on in life type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So I went to our family doctor and I was explaining how I was feeling and these symptoms that I was having. And she basically just like turned me down. She said, nothing's wrong. I'm fine. And I was like, no, like my hair is literally falling out. Like, you know, this shouldn't be happening. I feel very self-conscious about this, like all of these different things. And basically I kind of went down this path of finding other healthcare professionals who could actually help me and listen to me. And then I kind of got into naturopathic medicine. So I started seeing a naturopath, and which was the first time I think I ever really had somebody sit down with me for an hour and like actually talk to me about what was going on, how I was feeling, not just like the physical symptoms I was having, but like the spiritual symptoms and the mental symptoms too. And it was a very like holistic approach. And so through that kind of just started this beautiful like health journey that I've had over the years.
Nice. It's interesting when you're saying that you, it was the sort of the naturopathic doctor that really sort of, drew you into this, or at least opened up the doors for you to be able to walk through to get into this sort of way of thinking. And it, I mean, it's a little bit different here in the UK than it is over in the US in terms of like, family doctors and shit like that. I mean, it's a lot more evident that over in the US that it can be seen that it's very corrupt, the whole healthcare system, and your just your doctor's interests in general. I don't really think they align with where you would hope they should do in their profession. And yeah, most of the time they just know fuck all. I mean, there are ones out there that are solid and they are really trying, but there's plenty that are just fucking clueless. There's plenty of them that they preach one thing and then you look at them and they're hardly the image of health themselves. And it's, I always question that. Whereas at least with a lot of naturopathic doctors, they normally practice what they preach a lot, because a lot of it is to do with preventive measures, and they normally embody that in their own life, and that's how they give it, and that's how they end up giving out really solid information. Whereas some of these allopathic doctors, they haven't really got anything to embody when it comes to what they preach, because what they preach is just selling drugs. So it's always interesting. Obviously, as you sort of grew, like as you started to grow up and you started to do a lot of this self-study, what was the turning point that got you into the biohacking world?
Yeah, so I kind of went through this healing journey of figuring out the issues that I was having, the root causes, and then fixing those. And that took a few years. And then I was in university and studying. And then I went into nutrition, and that's where I thrive right now. And that's what I'm studying further right now. But with nutrition, as much as I do love it, it has its limitations as well. So it's just more of this idea that reaching optimal health is beyond just the food that you eat or don't eat. And so when I kind of started digging deeper into health and reading books and listening to podcasts and all these different things, I kind of got into this world of biohacking. I mean, of course, like Dave Asprey is like the person who created the term and whatnot. But this word, this idea of biohacking, of like changing things externally and internally to allow you to be at the best health for you specifically. And that includes food, but it also includes lifestyle and light and exercise and movement and the people you're with and the air quality and all of these different things. So that's kind of like what led me down that road, was like nutrition was working and it does work, and it definitely can heal the body and help the body, but there's more you can do above that to get to even a stronger point of like being healthy and, you know, having your best life.
Yeah, it's it is interesting, because for me, like health, physical, mental, and spiritual health is everything to me. Like that is what my life's about. It's about pursuing that and optimizing it. But there's plenty of people who might not think the same. They just might not be that interested. And then it's almost like there's so much for them to even have to acknowledge when it comes to this. Because like you said, like nowadays people thought they could just get by being healthy, just having what they believe or consider to be a healthy diet. But like you said, like nutrition has its limits. And although we are finding like more and more benefits when it comes to food, and we're starting to really understand what an optimal diet is for humans, or across like across a sort of a broad population, what would be the optimal one to fit all. But we're also finding out at the same time that there's a lot of other factors. There's a lot of other variables that don't include what food you eat that can be just as important in how it affects you, how it affects you on your on a cellular level, just everything. And it's like, it's too much for people, and they're just like, fuck. They're like, well, I'm just going to let this go over my head, and I'm just going to, you know, fuck it, YOLO. And then they'll just do whatever. That's kind of how it's coming across when they're, and I just feel like we need people like yourself, where you're just like putting this information out there and breaking it down onto people, where they're like, oh, okay, I get that. Okay, so, you know, just do a cold shower. Yeah, okay, I could probably do that. And then it's, but whereas, well, me included, I'm literally just going boom, just straight in with like hardcore, like right on the other end of the scale. Where, and it's, so it's nice to have people that can, like, people can relate to.
Yeah, I think it's possible to break it down, like you said, into like a cold shower type of thing, like these little easy daily hacks that you can do that actually make a massive difference. And I think that's kind of like where my brand is right now and kind of where it's going. Because if you make things too complicated and too almost like sciencey or techie, a lot of the times it kind of like scares people away. So it has to be relatable. Mm-hmm. It has to be easy. And if everyone has access to it, or most people, that's like the zone that you want to be in. There's like a whole bunch of like, there's a part of biohacking that's very tech-based with these like very advanced technologies or machines that you buy. And to be honest, like that's just not realistic for most of the population to afford that or to have that in their homes. So I think there is like daily biohacks that you can do that basically do the same thing, maybe not as great, but can do similar things.
Yeah. It's again, I totally get what you mean. It's like with some of the technology is brilliant. Like it really is next level. Like you look at them and you're just like, wow, but they're like integrating like, quantum health. That's what they're really sort of pushing out there. And it's the real cutting edge of health sciences, that like a new frontier that's being, that's just starting to flourish within the biohacking world. But it's incredibly expensive, like you said. And for people that are just beginning to turn the tide with their health and be like, okay, I'm going to pay a little bit more attention, asking X thousand pounds worth of, for a, I'm not going to throw out any names, but like a molecular hydrogen machine, which fucking works and it's dope as fuck and it's going to totally change your health. But that's a lot of money. On the other end of the scale, you can just use nature's biohacks, which isn't a biohack. It just means that you're living in accordance to natural law. You're living how you would live if you lived like in alignment with nature. And that'd be, yeah, a cold shower is essentially when you would do like a cold plunge, or getting out in the sun gazing, grounding. It's all considered biohacking, that protocols. That's what a lot of the biohacking world do there. But it's like, well, it's not a biohack. It's just natural phenomena that we are part of. So of course we're going to benefit from it, because yeah, everything's connected.
Yeah, totally. Right? And that like kind of brings in the debate of like ancestral living versus biohacking, which is like, which Ben Greenfield talks mm-hmm. about a lot. And it's like taking these same idea and goals and just using nature instead. And it is possible to do that, like you said. And I think like we should start there, you know, like biohacking is still totally in its early stages. So many people have no idea what it is. And so if we get ahead of ourselves with these intense technologies and things that people can't afford, it's not really going to catch on. You know what I mean? Like it has to be something that people can just jump on the train and feel like they're doing something and feel like they're making strides towards being a healthier person. So I think like people like you and myself and a bunch of other people are really like working towards that and doing a good job of doing, of getting that to the public.
So what's the sort of other things that you would be, that you've been looking into personally recently then when it comes to just focusing like technological shit aside, if we were just to take things to a more personal level, this can be nutrition, this can be environmental, this can be social, any sort of variables that you're sort of practicing or you've added into your life and you've seen some good benefits from.
Yeah, I think there's like reflecting back on this year, it's been such a big year of growth for myself. I've brought a lot of like spirituality into 2018, which was kind of unexpected, I think. And mindfulness. And, you know, with like the yoga culture and meditation, I was never really able to kind of get into that. Like meditation just felt like this chore almost, like sitting down for 10 minutes and being quiet. I was like, I want to just kill myself. Like, I don't want to do this. You know what I mean? but this year yeah. I've really like slowed down and been able to actually like tap into that part of who I am. So now I meditate more. I practice yoga 3 to 4 times a week. But beyond that, like just mindfulness in general, like gratitude is a big one as well. So I bring in a couple different ways throughout my day. One of the things that I do is before I eat food, like with whoever I'm with, it's called a moment of gratitude, and we'll say something that we're grateful for that happened that day or the day before. So it's kind of like the spiritual version of saying grace, or like the millennial version of saying grace is what I say. But it's, you know what I mean? Like, and taking time to like reflect on your day like that and being mindful, and also just like pausing before you eat your food and like realizing I have this massive plate of food in front of me. I can afford this. I made this. Like, this was made with love. And just like getting into the parasympathetic mode of eating, or of like when you should be eating, is like so important. So this year has kind of been this like mindfulness journey for myself, and it's been very incredible, and to like see its benefits, I'd say.
Yeah, for sure. I feel this is something that I've always been like a fond believer in, just because I feel like it's natural progress, where if you come at this from a very materialistic point of view and all you're doing is focusing on optimizing your body, so you want the physical self to be is up to this highest, to be performing at its highest capabilities, then I believe that the deeper you go into that, the more in touch you become with your body, in that your consciousness is hardwired into the body. So the more you understand the body itself or your body, the more you begin to expand your consciousness as a totality and as an effect of that. I feel like it's natural progression as you begin to optimize your endocrine system. What is your endocrine system? Well, if you're looking at it from an Eastern perspective, they're your chakras. That's where the subtle energy centers are in the body. Okay, so what are we doing? We're looking at diet. We're doing like mitigating stress, taking certain supplements to really sort of optimize these glands. And now we're sort of opening up these energy centers. So then, of course, you add in a little bit of mindfulness to it and you're starting to produce an effect that's going to get you into these deeper states. They're going to get you in thinking about things that doesn't necessarily lie just within the materialistic, within the physical. You're going to start thinking of more spiritual beliefs or more spiritual thoughts anyway, at least. And yeah, just kind of noting back to what you said about people that have a hard time meditating. And like, I totally understand that. If you try and meditate for the first time, it so contradicts the way that we're brought up to live, which is being switched on and working, thinking of having to do something. Whereas when you're meditating, it's the complete opposite, and you're being told that you have to not do anything. And it can be very hard for people. And you kind of just sit there with your eyes closed and you're just like, right, now what? Well, I mean, like, that is kind of how it goes for a long period of time. But it's simply because people don't actually understand the correct way to meditate. If you want to learn how to meditate, you have to learn something called the Shambhavi Mudra. And this is the correct ancient way of meditating. And this is when where you pull your eyes up. So you pull your gaze up to look. Basically, you pull your eyes to the back of your head, where you're trying to look in the direction of where your pineal gland would be, where your third eye is. So if you can't do this to begin with, you need to pull your eyes up to the center line of your eyebrows, that where your eyebrows kind of meet when you're looking at them. And if you do this and try to meditate like that, if you'll find that you will get much deeper into that meditation very quickly. And it's simple, like literally the meditation doesn't have to be hard if you know how to meditate. And when you combine that with correct breath work, you combine that with being grounded, shit, you're traveling into hyperspace pretty quick. And yeah, just something that you brought up. And I was like, yo, I'll jump in on that, because that is literally for people that are interested. Check up the Shambhavi Mudra, or any sort of eye mudras in general can have different effects. So that's one. Yeah, I loved what you said about the meals, about showing some form of gratitude before the meal. And it's there's so much power in intent. It's like, if all you're going to do is just get a meal and you smash it down and you're just like, right, next. And that's all you're looking at it as, is just something to sort of satisfy your hunger. Then yeah, you're not getting the point. It's like, we know through epigenetics, like the power of belief, what belief can have. And if you're looking at this food and you're seeing it as like almost, you don't have to go as far as this, but like a sacred act, it's that interchange and exchange of energy between yourself and the food source, then it becomes much more of a holy act. And you can see the effect that would have, because if you've got that belief system in you, that's going to have an energetical effect on the body. It's going to have it's going to be a different physiological effect, a different psychological effect that you're going to get from eating. So yeah, little things like that. I mean, you don't have to go in saying, yeah, it's going to be sacred, it's going to be holy, but just you saying, oh yeah, I do like a gratitude practice before we eat, it changes the intent. And just like that, you've put a ancient ancestral sort of wisdom bomb onto the conversation without directing it back to that. So it allows people to relate. They're just like, oh yeah, sure, I could do that. So yeah, love that when you put it like that. And yeah, just Stephen, do you know Stephen Ray Warren?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I was talking to him the other night on the podcast, and he said something very similar, what he does before food. And I think that's such a great tip for people just to try. It's easy enough. It's literally, like you said, a minute or two before, and you just go over a few things, and then, yeah, it changes your mentality, yeah. Which I feel that's a great bit of advice. And is there what other shit have you been up? Any other shit that you've got to
yeah,
that you could share?
Yeah, I think just like going off of everything you just said about meditation and mindfulness, is there's just this tendency, especially like in US and Canada and just culture, to go, go, go and constantly be mm-hmm. busy. And it's like when you tell people, oh, I'm so busy, it's almost like, you know, a badge of honor. Like, oh, you must be so successful. You're so busy. You're doing all of these things. You're winning at life. But at the end of the day, it's like you go, go, go. And then you just feel like shit at the end of the day, honestly. And you don't really get to take time for yourself. And that's why this whole even like self-care movement that's happening as well is amazing, because it's really teaching people how to slow down and how to take time for themselves and have a gratitude practice and have a mindfulness practice. And like myself, I've been type A for so long, and it's really been this year that I've been able to slow down and not see type A as like the best and be like, oh, only successful people are type A. Oh, I have to be go, go, go. Oh, I have to be doing a million different things in order to be successful. It's taken me quite a while to actually realize that it's okay to slow down, and it's okay to have time to yourself multiple times a week. And it's okay to, you know, do these things every single day that make you feel good, and not just like once a month take a hot bath or like go out for wine. You know what I mean? Like it's taken a while for me to realize that. It's kind of been part of the journey this year, but in terms of like help with that, it just comes down to stress as well, right? Like, which goes back to nutrition, is like people who are so focused on nutrition but are like super stressed and who aren't sleeping well and who are go, go, go. It's like they're missing the pieces of the puzzle. Like these are very key pillars that you need in order to be healthy. So a lot of what I work on now is reducing stress and is getting better sleep and is really like tackling these like fundamental things that make you healthier. And like doing things that are focused on self-care really do help reduce stress.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree as well. It's in Western civilization in particular, just pretty much 99.99% of people are just running on overdrive and just and literally just living with adrenal fatigue. Like they're literally are just maxed out. And because of that, their whole system's like fried, quite literally. It's overtaxed and it's that misbalance of the yin and the yang. There is all it is just go, go, go without anything in return. And if you live that sort of life, then eventually, yeah, you're gonna crash. And yeah, most people just have severe adrenal fatigue. Because of that, I feel like that's why the rise in interest in adaptogenic herbs is sort of really sort of surfaced over the past few years, or just other sort of things that you can do to mitigate stress as well. But that's why I really like adaptogenic herbs, because such powerful forms of, you could look at them as medicine, but more so just the effect that they can have on a cellular level for helping your body cope with stress. And this is, and all the forms of stress, like they handle them. They just kind of just like boil them off. They're like, nope, we're good. Yep, like they help so much. And is that something that have you experimented much with any adaptogens lately?
Yeah, definitely. I've used a few different ones. Obviously, like ashwagandha is like one of the biggest ones that people know about. And I find that they do help. But my thing with adaptogenic herbs is that it seems to be like more supportive supplement rather than an actual, like it's more of like a gentle support than really fixing the problem with the tired adrenals.
Yeah.
So when I was overstressed like months ago at work, taking ashwagandha, it honestly, like it wasn't strong enough. Like it wasn't really doing enough for me. So I had to kind of like do some other things that were more impactful, but
how much were you taking, by the way?
I honestly don't know. I was kind of experimenting. I was seeing a naturopath at the time and she was kind of like helping me as well.
Yeah.
But now like you can buy a whole bunch of like different elixir blends that have like different ones in them and other supportive herbs in them as well. So that's kind of what I've been playing with, is like these like elixirs that have like spirulina in them and like ginseng and all of these really like soft, nice herbs that can support the body. There's like, for me, I had to take a more of a stronger approach than herbs in order to like really decrease my stress. But I do see that they definitely help people in more of a gentler way, like over time.
Yeah. So when you're saying that you took like other directions to really sort your health out, is this when we're looking into more things to do with like your light exposure, sort of recalibrating your circadian rhythm, maybe grounding more, getting more sun, just like you said, like movement, relationships? Are these things that you started to reevaluate and their importance, within their importance in your life?
So for me, it was, this was recently, it was probably like 6-8 months ago. I did a hormonal panel and I got my levels back and my cortisol wasn't where I wanted it to be. And it was actually low. So cortisol has a curve, right? So you wake up in the morning and it's higher, and gets you out of bed. That's kind of the point of that. and it slowly drops throughout the day. And so then when you go to bed at night, it's, you don't have high cortisol and you're calmer and you can fall asleep. And so you definitely want a curve when it comes to your cortisol. And I had a curve, but it was just underneath the line of where it should be. And so that meant that my body wasn't producing enough cortisol to handle the stress that I was experiencing every day. And that's like pretty significant to be experiencing that in your 20s. So that's why I say, like, with adaptogenic herbs, it just wasn't, I tried them, but it just wasn't enough in order to bring my cortisol back to where it should be or to feel like my stress was being reduced. And so I brought in things like just different like tactics. So I reduced my caffeine. That was like one of the best things I did. So I did a month off of caffeine. And then when I brought it back, I kept it to finishing my last cup before 11 a.m. So before that, I was having coffee until 2 p.m. and thinking it's fine. Because most people say, oh, it's 2 p.m. Like, you're fine. Like, you can have it up until then. But the thing is women metabolize caffeine slower than men. So you really have to be careful when you're reading these recommendations. So I found that like before 11 a.m. is like helps reduce my stress. I'm less like jittery and also helps me sleep well at night and fall asleep faster, which then helps the following day have less stress. So it's just like things like that. It was really like experimenting what works for me, not necessarily what is recommended by healthcare professionals or by people who have done similar things. So that was one of them. Caffeine's a huge one. And then diet, of course, like staying away from refined food, sugar, anything processed, dairy, grains for me don't do very well. And doing all of that. And then I also brought in like nighttime walks. So this was back when I was in Canada living in Vancouver. I would go and walk on the water after dinner and like light exposure of seeing the sunset, not being in bright fluorescent lights watching Netflix at 8 p.m., but rather be outside getting fresh air, seeing the sunset, like calming down, going for a walk, not running, not doing CrossFit, not doing anything intense that's going to increase cortisol or adrenaline, really helped. Totally like calm me down and, you know, manage my stress better. So there's a lot out there for people to do, really. It just depends kind of like what works for you and your schedule.
Yeah, I think what you said there, you really, again, just really nailed it with a great hack, which people can do, which is, it doesn't necessarily have to be a nighttime walk, but it, like, again, this does have its benefits as well. But if you just like do a nighttime walk just as sunset and across the beach, and then from there you've got what have you got? You're grounding, so you're gonna get that negative ionic charge from the ground up into you, and because there's gonna be, it's slightly wet, then that's gonna increase the conductivity potential of that charge. You've got the sun, so you're gonna be sun gazing. So you're bringing in photons into your system. And then as well as being by the sea is going to naturally produce negative ionic or negative ions into the atmosphere. Just so you're literally getting like a shit ton of antioxidant support into your system, which is obviously going to help with the stressors So it's, again, great little tip for people, something as simple as that, people would kind of just scoff at and kind of roll their eyes. They're like, that's not going to help me out. Like, get real. And like, I need to sort my health out. You're telling me that I just have to go for a walk down a beach and look at the sun? Like, what the fuck is this? But it's true. It's true. Like, stuff like that would, it can have such a significant effect. And all of these things in combination, like if you did that in the morning where you ground yourself with the earth, you watch the sun rise, you calibrate your circadian rhythm to the day, you get that natural red light into your eyes with the blue at the perfect ratio for you to be able, for your whole system just to be able, just to kind of be like, right, okay, let's get shit up and running then, boys. And then you're good to go for the day. And then as you progress through the day, and then you're coming down to a close for the night, yeah, going for a walk along the beach again, watching the sun go down. It's telling your brain, as in like, all right, things are calming down. Let's chill. Let's cool it for the day. And it's just about getting people back into doing things like that. I mean, just doing things like that, eventually, as you begin to do it and it becomes natural to you, like it's part of your, let's say, it's part of your nature, that's what true spirituality is. True spirituality is being connected with the natural cycles. And that's what I was saying, the more you take into account your health and you start to pursue it, the more you will begin to live the spiritual life. And you might not be aware of it to begin with, but it will begin to have effect on your perspective, your awareness, and your consciousness as a whole. And
yeah, absolutely. Like, just going off of what you said, it's so true. And people don't realize like how much a simple walk can actually do. And I've even, like you said, like I started doing them in the mornings here. I'm currently in New Zealand right now, but I do them in the mornings, kind of with my first cup of coffee, and it actually feels so good. And it sounds like such a grandma thing to say, is like, go for a walk, put your phone down. But you know what? It actually does work. And it works because of the nature that you're getting and the light that you're getting and the negative ions, if you're by water, like you're saying. But it also works because if you leave your phone at home and if you're by yourself, you have this moment of like reflection and reflection of your day, mm-hmm. of your life, of things going on. And you're actually just taking time to like process your emotions and things that are happening in your life, rather than being on Instagram and being on all of these like artificial stimulations that we have that feel good in the moment. You're just taking time for you. And then if you're walking with somebody else, that can have benefits as well, because, you know, you're connecting, you're socializing. And as humans, we love to connect with people. So that kind of has its own benefits as well. So, I mean, yeah, walking should be like biohacking number one, biohack number one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With the, with what you were saying then, What do you feel stops people from doing that? Do you feel like it is just the addiction to phones? Do you feel like it's the lack of what can be looked at as like a morning ritual? Because like you said, if you get into routine of doing these things and have a morning ritual where it's just you, nothing else. So it's just you and your mind, and you can order the day in your mind in terms of what's your intentions. What do you want to achieve from the day? What, it's just that time of reflection. And I feel like literally we just don't give ourselves that time anymore. Like as soon as you get up, you're like, right, I got to go to work. So you might wake up a little bit early and then just browse Instagram, browse Facebook. Then you're like, shit, I'm late, I got to go to work. And then you're in a rush. So what sort of morning ritual have you got apart from the things you were saying? Is there anything else that's kind of like a real important procedure that you have in your morning that you feel just puts you on that next level?
So to your first question, I think people struggle with bringing something like this in because they feel like they don't have time to do it. And then that's actually where I've seen, like with my family members, if they have a dog, the benefits of that, because you kind of have to take your dog out for a walk once or twice a day. So then they actually are like kind of forced to bring this type of biohack in, and then they're reaping the benefits of it. So, but if you don't have that type of like demand on you, it's hard for people. Like, I don't have time for a walk. I have this and this and this to do, right? So, I mean, but it could be a 10-minute walk. Like, you could go around the block. Like, it doesn't have to be an hour walk into nature, like full on, you know what I mean? Like, you can bring it in in a small way. But in terms of morning routine, I'm working right now on when I want to turn my phone on. I think I'm kind of struggling with that a bit. Of I wake up in the morning and, you know, my phone's right beside my bed. I mean, it's on airplane mode, of course, but, you know, I want to get into the day and look at my notifications and my texts and whatever. So I'm trying right now to kind of figure out how much time I need before that, whether it's half an hour or an hour, in order to kind of just like be more present. So that's kind of on the horizon right now. And then what I do is I get up, I go to my bathroom, and I actually fill my sink with cold water. And I get a lot of questions about this lately, but I fill it with as cold water as I can get out of the tap. And then I dunk my face in the cold water, and I do it for about 5 or 6 times. I hold my breath underwater, 20 seconds, whatever, as long as I can. Sometimes I have a podcast on, so I'm listening to something while I'm doing it. But it's actually amazing. And the benefits of this is, one, my skin is like thebomb.com. Like it really is. Like I've never really had acne issues, so I can't say much to acne, but like pore-wise, like pores, closing pores, and just like rejuvenating collagen, elasticity in the skin, it's really, really good for your skin. But it's also cold therapy, right? And so what this has done, because I've been doing it for a couple of months now, has increased my tolerance to cold water. So now actually when I do like ocean swims or cold showers, or I did an ice bath a couple of weeks ago for the first time, it actually wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. So this cold therapy of dunking my face in the water every morning, it seems to be working, and it makes me feel very awake. So that's kind of my biggest morning hack right now is doing that. And then I drink a liter of water. So a distilled water with vitamin C in it, 1 gram of vitamin C. Sometimes there's other minerals in there as well. Magnesium, zinc, silica, different things like that. And I always have that before I have any food or any caffeine, just to replenish the system, flush out any toxins from the night before, and just kind of like get hydrated for the day.
I have got another question for you, to be fair, Brittany. And this is something that I've never really got, is what is it with people's, like, what is it with the Western world, their addiction to caffeine? I think I've only ever had like a few cups of coffee in my life. It's just something that I've never seen what the whole big deal is about. And when people make it, when people are into their coffee, it's so interesting because they're just like, they literally live off it. And I could never understand that for just everyone and then it's almost like they depend on it. Like if they haven't got their morning coffee, they can't operate. And I'm always bewildered by that because I never understood the whole hype over caffeine and coffee. And is this something where you've just, do you just drink a lot of coffee, or you, like, what's it, what sort of level are you at with
it? I think with coffee in the Western world, I think it's a coffee culture. And I think that's kind of what drives it. So especially on the West Coast, like Seattle's where Starbucks was started, and then up to Vancouver, there's so many cafes, right? And so there tends to be this like, I want to go in for a hot cup of coffee in the morning. This is how I start my day. And it's just a cultural thing. It really is. And if you look at like TV shows that have been very, very important for people like watching growing up that have been around forever, like Friends even, right? How many seasons were there of Friends? It was around a coffee shop. That's what they did all the time. So it kind of like instilled this thing of like,
true.
We have coffee and this is what we do, and we take time to drink this drink and it's good. And so there's that aspect to it. But then there's also the aspect of like, it's totally addictive, right? It's a stimulant. So caffeine is like, you know, it energizes you. It's great before a workout. It's great before working during the day at your job. It really just like gets your body and your mind going, and it produces, you know, cortisol, adrenaline, all of these different things. But the issue with caffeine and coffee is that it's not only addictive, it's like you need more and more in order to get the fix, right? In order to get that same level of high and energy from it. So people are totally addicted to coffee. Like I've been addicted to coffee and caffeine, and most people I know are or have been. So it's interesting that you haven't because like, yeah.
Yeah. It's, just never really I was never really solved by it. It's just, I don't know what it is. I've had a few cups and I was just like, nah, it's like, I don't really need this. I don't see the big deal in this. I'd much rather have something like Shilajit in the morning, or just something, I don't know, I just don't feel, or maybe if I was gonna, okay, if I wanted the caffeine side, then maybe I'd go for like a matcha, where you get the L-theanine in it as well, so it just sort of mellows out that spike from the caffeine. I mean, that's another thing. But while we're on the subject of coffee, I'm guessing if you like your coffee, you must get some pretty good coffee. Like, what are the main, with coffee being such a force on the world scene, and so demand will be high, and obviously, as with everything, you're going to find that there's quite a wide variety of quality when it comes to coffee, and there's things that you don't want your coffee bean to be exposed to. So you don't want the sort of the mycotoxins, the molds on the coffee that you're going to find in a lot of coffee that you would find in the supermarket. So obviously we want it to be organic. We want it to be mold and mycotoxin free. Is this something that you look for yourself, or do you just look for any coffee?
Yeah, so there's definitely a few brands out there that are very clean in that sense. So obviously like Bulletproof is one of them. And they're more accessible in Canada and the States than New Zealand, where I am right now. So right now, I try to look for single origin coffee that tends to be lower in mycotoxins and mold. So, and it'll say on the packaging, like where the coffee comes from. And then also like organic and fair trade tends to help. But what you can do that I do is I actually keep my coffee beans in the freezer or the fridge. Same with like my nuts and my seeds, because this reduces the rate of mold forming and spreading. So yeah, so if, just like keeping it fresh like that can help. But it's definitely difficult, right? Like coffee is a major, major industry. And, you know, when you buy coffee, you have to be careful that it's not old. And the interesting thing about when you buy coffee beans is it'll say like, best before date, drink this before then, but it doesn't say the day that it was packaged on. So how do you know that you're not buying beans and this package wasn't made like a year ago, 2 years ago, and there's mold that's been spreading through there? And are you even going to see the mold? Probably not. It's probably too small, right? And so it's just like, it's kind of being aware of that sort of thing. You can buy like smaller bags of coffee, so you're getting more fresh coffee like that, rather than the bigger bags that last forever. So there's different ways like you can bring it in. But coffee like does definitely have some benefits, right? Like it's a good source of polyphenols, especially for people who do not get polyphenols through herbs or spices or in other ways. So it can be like good for that. And then like going with like morning routines, like it's probably not a bad thing that people have a cup of coffee in the morning as a morning routine if it makes them feel good, you know, like sipping something hot, if that's kind of a moment of reflection for them or a moment of like being aware of where they are in their day, like it's probably not necessarily a bad thing. But it becomes a bad thing when it's abused and you're drinking too much and it's kind of, you know, that becomes more of like a drug type of idea.
Yeah, with the, just to sort of follow up on one of the points with the quality of the coffee itself, just being in the whole sort of food manufacturing business myself with Primal Alchemy and the Vitruvian protein that we make, I know that there's a lot of shortcuts that a company can do or can make when bringing a product to market. So something I want to ask just ask of you guys is like, go for, if you want a coffee and you want a high grade coffee, go with a company who's gone the extra mile, that's gone to get the third party lab testing. Because they're the ones who care about your health, because they're trying to show you that they're going the extra mile. And then you look at these big companies, like the ones who generate millions upon millions of pounds a year, and they don't do this. And it's like, why are you not doing this? It's going to be like, it's not like you can't afford to do it. Like, so why are you not doing it? You up to some shady shit? you probably are, aren't you? You're cutting loads of corners, but you just don't want people to know. And this is what you find out when you're in this business. And it's, for some reason, it just goes unspoken. And I just ain't into that. For me, it's like, well, shit needs to be disclosed. People need to step up. People need to step up to a certain standard or fuck off. You got no part to play in this game if you're going to be doing like low key sneaky shit behind the scenes just so you increase your profit margins. And I think people are starting to crack on to this and become more wised up, and they're starting to demand this sort of information, or at least show interest in it. And it just really helps out the smaller companies that are passionate about what they do, passionate about the products that they make, and go that extra mile to bring you the best quality. So what I'm asking is, like, support them, guys. Support the companies that go that extra mile, because it would mean the world to them, because then it shows them that you care. You care about the message. And the message is always more important than the product itself. So just something I just wanted to touch on there. Another thing that you brought up that I was like, oh, shit, I'm actually interested. When you said that you called the nuts, and seeds, do you sort of sprout your seeds at all, or like activate your nuts?
I have before. I can't say I do every time, but I definitely should. They're easier for the body to digest when they are sprouted and when they're soaked overnight. And it's a pretty easy process to do it, I would say. And you can do it. I haven't really seen much information on doing it with seeds, which would be interesting to look into. But nuts for sure. But I definitely do keep them in the fridge to keep them as fresh as possible. I tend to like ground my seeds before I eat them. So I have a coffee grinder and I put them in there, especially if I'm using seed cycling to help with hormonal balancing. And because like it's easier to digest.
Yeah.
Especially with seeds like flax seeds, right? Like if you just leave the flax seed as a whole, you don't digest it. It just kind of moves through the body. But if you grind it up, it's like helps more. You get more of the fiber out of it and these different things. So, but no, I definitely should be sprouting, I guess, more than I do. Do you always sprout your nuts?
Yeah, interesting. I've started to, like, I have to put an effort into it, because I, at one point in time, I was eating quite a lot of nuts. Well, the thing is, I like macadamia nuts, and macadamia nuts, in comparison to other nuts, they don't necessarily have the phytic acid that's the issue, the anti-nutrient. They're not as high in quantity, so I could kind of get away with just eating raw macadamias, which I pretty much eat daily. But if you're having something like walnuts are pretty high in phytic acid, almonds, Brazil nuts, then yeah, you're probably going to want to activate them. And for anybody that's listening that's got no fucking idea what I'm talking about, basically to activate your nuts, all you have to do is like you have to soak them for like 10 to 12 hours in the in some salt water, and then you have to dehydrate them. So you can either get like a food grade dehydrator, or you can just leave them out in the sun, and if it's decent, then yeah, your nuts are getting some photons as well, which is going to be good. But yeah, it just basically deactivates the anti-nutrients inside of it, which is phytic acid, which is sort of messes with your ability to assimilate like zinc and magnesium and other sort of vital minerals. So yeah, if you eat too much nuts, just raw, then you can suffer from this, which is interesting, because obviously people that are on a hashtag plant-based life, if they're just drinking shit tons of almond milk, they're going to be getting a lot of phytic acid from that, plus the sugar as well. I never thought about that before until this moment. That's something that you guys should, if anyone drinks a lot of almond milk, think about that one for a second and see if it's active, if the nuts were activated, which 99.99% they wouldn't have been. But just something to add on to that. And just one thing to lead on to, because I know that you've got somewhere to be in a bit, Brittany. I just wanted to finish off with you. We were discussing beforehand about your interest in digestion recently, and is that if someone is asking you like they've got a little bit of digestive issues, like is there anything that you would suggest might be able to like help with your sort of the general issue of any sort of digestive dis-ease? Like, what sort of things would you say?
There's a lot, obviously, to go with digestion. It tends to be one of the biggest causes for a lot of symptoms that people deal with, is like faulty digestion, leaky gut, that type of thing. So there's like some practices that you can bring in without even going down like the food or supplement route. First would be just to slow down when you're eating. Mm-hmm. So like we said kind of earlier, is like you tend to scarf down your food. You're not really chewing it properly, and you should be chewing it properly because you need the saliva to begin breaking down the nutrients in the food rather than swallowing these big pieces of chicken that aren't really ready to be in the gut yet or in the stomach yet. So slowing down, taking time. I was actually with somebody recently who, after every single bite of food, he put down his knife and fork onto the plate and we would just talk. And it made me realize how fast I even eat. Wow. And then I started copying him just because, I don't know, like I was like, this is like a great idea. And I don't even know if he realized that he does that, but it just really made me think. And then, so I just like put down my knife and fork between every bite, and that really has helped. So yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty progressive as fuck.
But it's also just like,
yeah,
you know, when you have a mouthful of food, you tend to already be loading up the next forkful, right? And it's like, you can kind of just slow down a bit. Like, mm-hmm. really, like, you don't really have too much like time, or you don't really have somewhere you have to be that quickly if you're eating food right now. Like, you shouldn't be. You should plan time to sit down and eat a meal properly. So that tends to help. Supplements that I recommend to people is
before you run on to that one quickly, Brittany, I just want to know, do you know a guy called Furious Pete?
Furious Pete.
Oh, fuck. Lol. Yeah. You have to, anyone who's listening as well, search up a guy named Furious Pete on YouTube. Yeah, Furious Pete, trust he fuck, man, he's next level, but it's like totally goes against everything you were just mentioning then, but he's fucking impressive. Like, he can sink like 12 Krispy Kreme donuts in like, oh, I don't know, like 30 seconds, like, something around those lines. Yeah, it's impressive, but at the same time, you're like, wow, Pete, yeah. You're like, what are you doing to yourself, yeah. dude? Like, that's going to wreck you, man. And it's like, he devours like 5-pound burritos in like a few minutes. But yeah, a bit off subject, bit of a tangent, but it just when you're saying for people just to slow down, and then you're looking at him and he's like, yeah. he's like maxing out. Like, he,
that's
but yeah,
funny. I'll definitely have to look at that. So like supplements that I usually recommend, to help soothe the gut and heal any gut dysbiosis or leaky gut is aloe vera juice is very helpful. And so is L-glutamine. I usually take L-glutamine in my water throughout the day, at the gym. Usually it just ends up being in my supplement stack for the gym, but this really helps like heal the gut and soothe the intestines and like the lining. So that can help a lot with digestion. Same with digestive enzymes. So if you need help, like actually breaking down the food, and you feel like, you know, how often are you into the bathroom? Are you constipated a lot, or do you go too much? Right. So that's where digestive enzymes can kind of come in. And then there's also like looking at HCL, like, are you producing enough acid to help break down proteins? So it's complex, right? But if you kind of start with like those key things, that helps a lot. So for me, I don't take digestive enzymes every day. I only take them when I'm eating food that I don't normally eat. So if I'm at like a Christmas party and I have bread or I have dairy and just like things I usually stay away from, I'll bring digestive enzymes so that it helps break down them. And then I'm not suffering with like being bloated or different like things that I'm dealing with. So like that type of thing tends to help.
Do you intermittent fast?
So I used to intermittent fast every day. I used to go start my meals around 12, 1 every day, kind of have like a 16-hour window of not eating. But then I started reading more, and a whole bunch of articles and research and people came out about how too much fasting for women can have negative effects on your hormones. And I kind of like do see that a bit with my hormones. So now I like intermittent fast. So I intermittent fast, like strict, no food or anything, no calories on Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday. So I have my specific days during the week that I do it now. And that's a lot better for me just cycling in and out of it, because it's just too hard on my body to do it every single day.
Yeah, that's cool. Are you in a fat adapted state, or is that not something that you've,
so when I intermittent fast, definitely, in a fat adapted state. For that, I have a ketone blood reader and a glucose blood reader. So I've like been able to measure my ketones.
Nice.
But also I try eat high fat anyway, just when I do eat, because it feels so good. I feel so energized. I feel full, and I don't have these crashes that I get if I were to eat more higher carb. So I try and have a lot of fat in my diet, whether I'm intermittent fasting that day or not. Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with that. Do you fast?
Yeah, I've been practicing it for a good while now. I started off doing the 16-8 window, and then I've really sort of tied it down now to about anywhere between a 20-hour fast, 4-hour eating window, to like a 22 fast with 2-hour eating window. I'm kind of within those. I kind of cycle between them throughout the week, depending on what my days are like. But yeah, I've seen some big improvements. Like, I always exercise in a fasted state. I do a lot of stuff in a fasted state, and it really does help. Like, I think it's something that everyone should try, see if it works for you. If you're brand new to this, then go just introduce yourself slowly, like do a 16-hour fast with an 8-hour eating window. It's not really that bad when you think about it. It's only like, just don't eat until 12 o'clock midday, and then you can have your last thing to eat at 8 o'clock. It's pretty straightforward, and the more your body adapts to it, you can really start to sort of taper it in. And I think most people would see a dramatic effect just from that alone. That's going to naturally pull you closer to being in a fat adapted state. And then if you combine that, like you said, with eating a high fat, low carb diet, then yeah, it's going to, you'll make that metabolic, adaptation. And then you're really going to feel the real effects of what fasting is really intended for, which is to induce that state of ketosis. But, yeah, I think it's all, everything's been great that you've been saying, Brittany, and I don't want to keep you any longer than you, than we initially agreed to, because I know you're a busy woman yourself. So, normally what I do to end these, podcasts is I ask the guests, like, if you could sort of advise on, any protocol to help someone improve themselves. So one thing to be able to help someone that can either be a physical, mental, or spiritual practice. What would you go for as the main tip?
Well, going off of what we were just talking about today, I honestly feel like the easiest thing is just to go for a walk, you know, like just take care of yourself. You can't take care of people around you. If you're a parent, or even if you have other family members that you have to take care of, you can't do that if you're not taking care of yourself first. And it's like they say, like, put your own oxygen mask on first, right? In the airplanes. And that's really very important, because you need to fill up yourself before you can help other people. So doing something like a morning walk, or even my friends who work like 9-to-5 jobs, in cities, I say, like, on your lunch break, go for a walk, like walk around the city, get out of the office, and just like be out in nature, in your city and just get outside, get off your phone, maybe put a podcast on your music if you want, but like, just don't be looking at your phone and look around you and listen to the nature, hear the nature, see the nature, and just be with that and just really be present. And it can actually have profound effects on your life if you use the time to reflect and like grow as a person.
Love it. Yeah. Couldn't agree more. Sweet, guys. So hopefully everybody that's listening, you've enjoyed it today. We went pretty deep on that one. That was good, Brittany. Feel like there's plenty of things for all you guys to have gained and maybe integrate into your life, a few of those things. I know that the head dunk in the water in the morning, that's a fucking dope tip, yo. That's gonna be that'd be something for people to try. And I bet, like, literally that's such a good idea to do that in the morning. Just I had a previous guest on here, Sean Weldman. I don't know if you've heard of him, but if not, check him out at Sean Weldman on Instagram. And he's got protocols very similar to that. And yeah, that's such a good tip. I'm definitely going to do that in the morning to add on to what I already do with cold thermogenesis sort of protocols. I'm going to do that. So yeah, cool. Thanks again, Brittany. So let's tie this one up, guys. Hopefully you've all enjoyed it.
Thank you so much for having me.
So let's call this one a night. Yeah, actually, shit. One last thing before we do go, Brittany. For everybody that's been listening and they're like, yo, I like Brittany's vibe.
You can find me on Instagram. That's probably where I'm most popular right now, which is Biohacking Brittany. And then I also have a website, and then I have a few new things rolling out in the new year for helping people. So look out for that. Biohackingbrittany.com.
And what was your website?
Yeah. Thank you so much.
All right, cool. All right, guys, there you have it. So let's call. Yeah. Thanks again, Brittany. And let's call this one a night. All right, guys, stay woke as fuck. Episode 9 of Primal Alchemy Red Pill Initiation Hour. Calling it a night.